from the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are joined on our live chat by our live blog guru, Jamie Snowden, and Cheesehead TV marketing director, Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Later tonight, we'll be joined by former Buccaneers defensive lineman and current writer for SB Nation, Stephen White, will be on the show to help us break down the Packers matchup with the Bucs. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Eddie Lacy.
Like a boss.
Randall Cobb.
Such a weapon.
The offensive line.
Probably their best performance wasted.
And we got the bad. We got Mike McCarthy.
Why was it wasted? Because of this man.
Jordy Nelson.
The drop.
Special teams.
I mean, my goodness, Slocum.
And we got the ugly. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Might be the first time ever Mr. Rodgers has been put into
the ugly
category.
I was going to do the research on that, but then I realized that I would have to go through 127 shows to figure it out.
No, sir.
And
no time.
I do think that's the first time he's been on there.
I think it is.
It's got to be. Although maybe his first season.
Let me tell you.
His first season playing.
I wrestled with flip-flopping special teams and Aaron Rodgers. Because, you know, Aaron did make some good throws. But overall, that was one of the poorest performances you will ever see out of QB1. So, in the ugly, he goes. Unfortunate game up in Buffalo.
Woo! Let's just put that one away.
Burn the tape.
We've all watched it. We're 10-4. We don't know how we had that happen.
I don't know what happened. But I just want to point something out. You mentioned the record. And I do want to say, sitting at 10-4, couple people in the old Packer blogosphere like to give me a little grief about my predictions every year. Because, you know, I do always do a heart and head. My heart is always saying, you know, they'll probably, you know, make a Super Bowl run. My head said that they would go 11-5 this year. I'm really hoping that's not right.
No, I want to be 12-4.
Four, that would be great. But, and I say this every year, and every year it's true. Eventually, at some point during the season, Mike McCarthy and his inability to adjust, or just something he does game planning wise or play calling wise, just something Mike does.
Okay, I'm not throwing this on coaching. McCarthy once we get there.
No, not all of it. Not all of it.
Because I got something to say about it. But first.
But he contributes majorly to a loss, and that was the Buffalo game.
Of course. That was it. Here's the thing. We've got something to give away first, okay? So why don't you stick to the script
Let's do it.
And we have a Lambeau Field blueprint. The last one.
Last one, people.
And we're going to give it away. You know, people are people have been tweeting early, and they think that's going to help. It doesn't. Okay? Lambeau Joe's like putting the tweet in the chat.
Nice try,
dude,
people.
Don't put the tweet in the chat. Put the tweet on Twitter. Okay? So here's what you got to do. You know what you got to do. I send you the poster. It's all good. And no matter what, you'll get it. I cannot guarantee you will get this poster before Christmas, by the way. No. Because this is me going to the post office. Okay?
In New York City.
And I'm not sending an express because I'm cheap. So
as long as it gets
you
it.
Will get it.
Might take some time.
Might take some time, but you'll get it. So you need to tweet this. I'm watching Packer Transplants Live on @CheeseheadTV, sponsored by @WiscoDisco beer. We are drinking the bee's knees.
Bee's
tonight.
Knees in the house.
It's some bee's knees kind of loving going
bee's
on.
Bee's knees.
Thank you to Stillmank Brewery, local Green Bay brewer and sponsor and friend of the show.
That's how we do it. That's how we roll, man. We get our little Wisco Disco out. We get our bee's knees going. And then we good. But you know what else is good, Corey? The sun rose the day after the Packers lost. It's going to be okay, people. It's going to be all right. I know. It was funny. I got a lot more than usual after a loss. I think because it's so late in the year. But a lot of, how does this not ruin your day? Like, how do you even, like, do anything?
It didn't ruin my day.
didn't ruin my day.
But it does help. Week. It does help that we're 10-4.
Well,
it would or might have ruined my day had, you know, like the Bears, we've been, what are they, 4-10? I don't know what they are.
All I know is Jay Cutler got benched today, dude.
Ooh.
Jay Cutler benched. It was great. Earlier today, I was doing some, you know, early, like, Cutler to the Bears. I was going back and, like, looking at old stuff, and I just happened upon a post I wrote the day that happened, and it was me chewing out Greg Bedard, because Bedard had written something in the Journal Sentinel about what a huge move it was and how all of a sudden the Bears were, like, the favorites in the North, and Cutler was going to make them so much, you know, better and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I took exception to that.
So where do you think Cutler goes?
The Jets would be hilarious. My first thought is Tampa Bay, and we'll ask Steven about that in the second half of the show. You know, Lovey's down there. He coached him. Maybe the Shanahan connection in Cleveland, but, I mean, to back up Johnny Manziel?
What do you think odds are that Jay's done?
No. He's got way too much physical talent. He's a total coach killer. Someone will be... Now, here's the thing. People are, like, guessing things like Tennessee. I can't see him going anywhere where there isn't someone on staff that he's worked with.
Who wants to work with the guy, though?
Someone who's worked with him. Maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
I think there's a pretty good chance he might be done out of the NFL.
No, he's not done.
Why?
He's not done.
Because there's three teams that have worked with him?
No, because there's, you know, look around the league and look who's starting this weekend. You don't think Arizona would like to have Jay Cutler? Arizona would die to have Jay Cutler right now.
So why don't they trade for him?
The trading deadline's over. And Chicago's not going to cut him just to, you know, give some help. Now, what Cutler should do...
I think they should get him, Cutler because then Arizona would lose,
like,
and we could get
run down Michigan Avenue butt-ass naked and, like, act crazy and, like, make it look like he's a potential danger to himself and then get cut and get thrown out. And then, you know, then Arizona can pick him up.
But if he gets cut, isn't Chicago still on tap for 24
yes.
mil or whatever?
No, not it's like 16 mil. A bunch this year. A bunch.
I know it's a lot.
A whole lot of money. He has another bonus, you know, big.
Did you see Aaron Rodgers sticking up for his boy Jay?
I did. That was an interesting article there on theoldnfl.com by Mike Silver. I find it interesting that, one, it was Mike Silver, and two, there was something buried at the bottom of that article that I found really interesting, was Aaron alluding to, I can't remember exactly what the quote is. I don't have it here in front of me, but where he said, you know, over the years, we've had some guys who've been those anonymous sources.
And Ted's weeded them out.
But Ted and Mike have done a good job of weeding them out. And I'm just here to tell you, people, it was great because Twitter was like trying to guess.
Is Aaron Rodgers a tattletale here?
Well, people were trying to guess who he's talking about. And I saw Finley floated and all this stuff. And it's like, Finley isn't an anonymous source. Finley's like an open source. Like, all you had to do was, like, wait till after the game and Finley would be spouting his mouth off. So there's nothing anonymous about Finley. But I think he's talking about people like maybe Kevin Green, maybe John Schneider back in the day. Because John Schneider, he talked all the time. And I know, you know, Ted came along, didn't like that. So,
I mean, here's the thing. Like, without anonymous sources, there is no media, right?
Yeah, well,
pretty much.
Not media that anyone really pays attention to.
Yeah, it's just what they're going to tell you, right? Yeah, you need anonymous sources, and, you know, in the government and in the NFL. Both.
They're almost the same.
They are. I thought that was interesting, too. He said that. And then actually listening to Aaron's show on Tuesday, he was pretty upbeat.
He was fine. And he should be. He had a bad game.
He had an amazing impression of Brady
Papinga. That was awesome. That was fantastic.
It was hilarious, and he did it like three times.
If you haven't heard it, go check out Tuesdays with Aaron at ESPNMilwaukee.com. It's phenomenal.
It's pretty much the number one thing as a Packer fan you should check out every week. Like,
absolutely.
Over Mike McCarthy's show, over like every other show out there.
Definitely over this show.
Including this one.
Yep, no doubt. All right, let's move on quickly to some news. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, they need three touchdowns combined between the two of them to pass the record set for a receiving duo in Packers history, which coincidentally was set back in 2011 by Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings. But so that's, you know, possible piece of history coming up. More importantly, Mike Neal, Brian Bulaga, and Devon House do not work at practice today. That's disconcerting, to say the least. Obviously, Mike Neal, we are used to it, in and out all the time. You would hope they can survive without him, especially against the hapless Buccaneers offense. But on the flip side, the Buccaneers are capable of doing work on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not saying they're a great defense, but they have some very good players. Maybe not the best cohesive unit, but as we'll talk with Mike, they have some capable players.
That was wish fulfillment.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, if Brian Bulaga can't go and Treader is forced into the right tackle position, there could be some interesting moments in that game Sunday. They will be bringing it. It will be their Super Bowl. And Lovie Smith knows how to play Mike McCarthy's offense. He knows what's up. So that could potentially be a problem. And Devon House, I'm telling you, that could be bigger than we think. Because I think House is like the one corner they have that can match up physicality-wise with Mike Evans, the phenomenal rookie receiver that the Buccaneers have. So you really hope House can go, but by all reports, his shoulder don't sound good. It doesn't sound promising.
I mean, the reality is nothing matters except for Green Bay Packers catching the ball.
Well, this is true.
There is no team in the NFL. There is not a team in the NFL that can beat this offense as long as we catch the ball. I'm sorry.
That's probably true.
We've proved that a little bit. This
kind of did prove that Sunday.
We proved it Sunday. We proved it against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Mike did forbade us to prove it against the Seahawks. He did. Well, if you don't throw against Richard Sherman, how are you going to know if the guy's going to drop the ball or not?
I don't know.
I'm still bothered by that.
I know. Well, Jordy Nelson did drop one. I mean, he didn't drop it, but it hit him in the hands on the other side, and it turned into the first interception of the year.
Yes, but it wasn't against Richard Sherman.
Right, I understand that.
Speaking of Richard Sherman, that Campbell's Soup commercial is really annoying. He's a really bad actor. I just want to put that out there in the world.
But he's not paid to act. He's paid to...
I love it! It's really bad. Like, Lucas directed that commercial, by the way.
Damn.
Like, he must have directed it, because who else can get bad actors to be
you
bad
know who,
like that?
You know who else is not a great actor?
Who's that?
Aaron Rodgers. If you watch those State Farm ads, come on.
I think they're hilarious.
They're fine, but that doesn't make him a great actor.
They're better than him. They going, I love it. I don't see him doing that.
They're just fine. They're both play-to-play football. It's fine.
I mean, all he has to say in the Hans and Franz is, really? It's how easy is that? And when they pull out the brat thing, those are pretty good, and those don't rely on him. He has to be the straight man. See, that's the key. If you're going to do a commercial with an athlete, you have to have the athlete play the straight man, not the comedian.
Right, right. Unless he's big and loquacious and bigger than life like Richard Sherman.
I love it!
Oh, man. Well, sticking back with the pack, elected playoff captains. I found it really interesting that Mike talked about this today. When the playoffs haven't started, Packers aren't even in the playoffs yet. Haven't clinched a spot yet.
They're about to be.
But the playoff captains have been selected, and they've been made public.
Why do you have six captains?
I don't know.
Like, people on Twitter were, like, thinking that's a good thing. I don't think that's a good thing.
Does it matter?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to photobomb the captain's picture anyway. So does he really need to be the captain?
Rodgers, Nelson, Peppers, Burnett, Randall Cobb, and Jarrett Bush, as voted by their peers on the team. Found Pepper's interesting. I mean, a guy who just got here and now he's a playoff captain.
I mean, not with what Mike Daniels said on our show.
That's true. Good point. But, you know, I just find it interesting. And I know the playoffs start now, like literally. Well, not literally, but figuratively. This is the playoffs. Like, the playoffs start right now. Can't lose another game. Got to go on a run from now until the Super Bowl. Boom. Got to do it. No excuses. Don't care who they're playing. Don't care where they're playing. And here's another thing. I know there's a lot of chatter about not only the playoffs, but the seeding. Can the Packers get the one seed? Are the Packers going to be the two seed? The Packers going to be three? Where are the Packers? Can the Packers?
Of course.
After that game.
Because I want to know where I'm going on January 2nd or 3rd.
All anybody wanted to talk about after the Buffalo game was, can they still get the first? Just beat the Bucks. Beat the Bucks. Just beat.
I kind of want to.
The Bucks.
In some ways, I kind of don't care if we have to go on the road the entire time.
I really don't either.
Because I just want to dispel the notion that, we can only win at Lambeau. Like, this the media has put this thing.
Well, they've gone on the road against some tough defenses and haven't fared so well. So, that's going to happen.
Speaking of the media, just want to say,
oh dear,
who do you think in the NFL? So you know how Aaron Sorkin has been like all of a sudden, media is responsible for everything that's going on.
You really
on.
Just had to talk to me about Aaron Sorkin.
I know, but
really,
who is in the NFL media?
Oh God.
Okay, with what Aaron Sorkin's done for the last 2 weeks, don't include the fact that he's a writer.
Right.
Like just take that out of the. Take the fact that he created The Newsroom and he created West Wing and he's actually a brilliant writer, which I think a lot of people would agree with, whether they like his shows or not.
Right. Okay.
Who in the NFL is like that, where it's like the blame the media guy for anything that happens? Like even the Sony thing, he's completely blaming the media. Like who is that person in the NFL? Is there a person?
I don't know. I was going to say, are you leading somewhere? Do you have an idea?
No, I just wonder. I don't know what you think.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about
There's
it.
There's two things I was thinking about. That was the one thing. And then the second thing getting us into the offense was, okay, so in Mike's Best and Worst, which are we showing it now or are we showing it in after offense?
Whenever you want, man.
So I think what we well, let's watch Mike's Best and Worst because I have a question for you.
Okay.
After we watch it. So here's Mike's Best and Worst from this week.
Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst, the Week 15 edition for the 2014 NFL regular season. It's been a while since we had a lot to choose from on the bad side of the ledger, but let's start with the good. Let's look at Mike McCarthy going to the Randall Cobb in the backfield package in the second half. It was a great move. It freed up Cobb from the physical play at the line of scrimmage that was giving everybody trouble in this game. It was a great move within the confines of that game plan. And that brings me to the bad side of the ledger, the game plan itself and the inability to adjust. It was pretty clear early on that Aaron Rodgers was off. I get that he's a league MVP candidate, but as the head coach, you have to make that adjustment. Your running backs and especially your offensive line are winning more often than not against a stout Buffalo Bills defense. You have to make the adjustment to ride that running game, whether it's Eddie Lacy, who I understand was nicked up coming into the game, or James Starks, get that ground game going in the second half. McCarthy's refusal to do so pretty much cost them the ball game. Yes, drops were bad. Yes, there were problems on special teams. But overall, all of that could have been mitigated by a simple adjustment by the head coach. We've come off of a Patriots win where Mike's game plan was great and it worked. It was unnecessary for him to adjust in the game, and that's why they won. Matched with a defense that was stifling his offense, he was unable or unwilling to make the necessary adjustments. And that's bad news if you're a Packers fan. There you have it. Week 15, Mike's best and worst.
So okay, what's your question?
Here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
All right. So I watched that. Created that.
I was going to say you cut it. I hope you watched it.
So my biggest question is, okay, how much, watching the tape, okay, how much is Aaron Rodgers changing the play at the line, and how much can you blame Mike? Because is Mike giving Aaron a free reign if he sees a guy moving up in the box? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just wonder how much Mike goes, hey, listen, we really want to run the ball, so don't change the play. Right. Is there is there some kind of code?
A lot of people have asked that question online, in the comments, on the site, and on Twitter both. And I'm really glad you asked, because here's my response to that. Yes, traditionally, the way this offense is designed, and especially over the last 2 or 3 years, McCarthy has given Rodgers more and more responsibility at the line of scrimmage. We all know this. We've all read about it. And yes, he does get up. And you saw it repeatedly on Sunday to the point where we saw them waste a couple of timeouts because Aaron kept trying to get them into the perfect play.
Yeah.
But yes, almost always, Aaron, not almost always, that's probably overboard, but more often than not, Aaron has free reign at the line of scrimmage. Now, you are the head coach. You have watched an entire half of your wide receivers getting pushed and pulled and nobody getting called for anything. You're running at 6 yards a clip. You go in at halftime and you say, look, we are going to ride Eddie. We're going to ride James. We're going to ride the guys up front. That's your call. That's your job as the head coach on a day, like I said in the video, where it's clear Aaron's having an off day. It's your job as the coach to make that adjustment and to tell him. And they have plenty of calls, by the way. More often than not, what Mike calls into Aaron on the headset is a check with me or a 50-50 where they get to the line and it's a, you hear him yell the kill, 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 where it's if we get up the line and I just go into the cadence, then we're going with the play that we called. But if we get up the line and you hear kill, 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 we're going with the other play. Another variation is I get up there, I see what the safeties are doing, or I see what the if there's press man or whatever, and then I'm making another adjustment, or I'm making a protection call,
or a hot
all of that
call.
Stuff, or a hot whatever. And he's doing the signals outside. Whatever all of that is, it's Mike's job to say, forget all that. Get in there. This is the play. And call plays where there is no adjustment.
But how often do you think that happens? Because I think that...
Rarely. And that's my point. It probably never happens. Because most of the time,
but like nobody
they don't
really
need to do
knows that.
That
except for Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy.
Exactly. And they'll never answer that question.
Exactly. And I just want to bring that back
absolutely.
To...
I hear you.
I want to bring that back to why I don't judge play calling.
Right. Oh,
because
absolutely.
Because you don't know
absolutely.
Who to blame.
And I think...
You don't. Especially with Aaron Rodgers, where he is right now.
With
right?
this offense,
he's in a mature
run.
Spot. Exactly. He's the MVP. He should be allowed free reign to run the offense as he sees fit. Now, he should be smart enough to realize, too, just like the head coach, like, hey, just because there's a guy up there, Eddie Lacy, my guys are going to block, and who cares, right?
Right. You're running for Jesus, especially in the third quarter when they put Treader in as a sixth offensive lineman / tight end on the end of the line. They were working Buffalo. I mean, just working them. Just ride that.
I mean, you got to
hide the hell out of that.
Here's the thing, too, though. You got to believe Aaron Rodgers in his head is going with this offense, right?
Right.
And there have been times when it takes, they're a little slow, right?
Yep, yep.
But you got, if you don't keep doing it, it's kind of like the run, right?
Yeah.
Passing is the same way, right? If you don't keep doing it, get in that habit, get them going.
Jordy Nelson
catches one freaking ball
know,
and the game
know,
is over,
absolutely.
By the way. FYI.
I totally agree. Totally agree. It's absolutely true. If Jordy catches the ball, it's an ugly win.
I know it shoulda, woulda, coulda.
It's an ugly win.
But that's it's like, really?
But as I said, again, as I said in the video, all of that could have been mitigated. He did drop the ball. All that stuff happened. And all of it could have been mitigated by simply changing course on offense. That's all I'm saying. And I know Mike's a stubborn SOB, as is Aaron, so that was probably never in the cards. But hell, I thought Bob McGinn pointed it out perfectly. You saw Doug Marrone do it. Doug Marrone had a freaking Kyle Orton coming out and throwing in the first half. And then the second half, he went, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
And they started running the ball.
Yeah,
and they ran
Kyle
well.
Orton, though.
Exactly. But yes, but because it's Kyle Orton, it makes it easier to see.
Yes.
And less tempting to go, no, he's going to get on track. He's going to get on track. He's an MVP candidate. Of course he's going to get on
track. Of course.
Sometimes as a coach, though, you just got to make that call no matter how hard it is. That's all I'm saying. I'm sure we'll talk to Mike about it when he's on the program. Oh, all right. We got like 3 minutes till we got to call.
Well, wait, we're not done
Steven.
With the offense.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We want to finish up the offense, and we'll call Steven. All right. Speaking of, one of the things that drove me to say just what I said in Mike's Best and Worst is the offensive line. One of the best performances, not only of the year, but any Packer offensive line we've seen over the last 5 years. On Sunday.
Yeah, 5 years for sure.
Wasted in a loss. Wasted in an offense that
since
couldn't
old
get out
bag
of its
of
own
donuts,
way.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe Corey Linsley is the new old bag of donuts.
2003, maybe. But, I mean, Corey Linsley was phenomenal in this game. Phenomenal.
Corey Linsley's old bag of cronuts.
That's terrible. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that.
I mean,
and before he went out,
have bad nicknames
before he went out with the ridiculous blindside block, Brian Bulaga was awesome in that game. Just awesome. And, I know Treader.
You mean Beluga? Beluga, right?
Dear.
Beluga.
Oh, David Deal. David, buddy. Just some notes, dude. Do something.
Did David Deal even, did he just wasted the night before and just
probably.
He pulled a Paul Horning.
That was awful. Paul Horning.
He's
with not as good results.
Hey, I'm just going to show up.
Hey, Beluga, Balaga, Beluga.
And it's like, it's not like,
what else? Oh, Micaiah Hyde. Yeah. Micaiah Hyde.
What else?
Micaiah. Micaiah Hyde. What was he doing?
Well, my thing I was saying is like, there's a producer in your ear. So it's the whole team. Right? They must all be hungover, right? Because if you say it wrong the first time, there's a producer in your ear who
Bulaga.
Has an intern.
Bulaga. Bulaga.
Yeah, who's just like, Bulaga, Bulaga, Bulaga. Get it right.
Good Lord. Yeah, and then, well, that was the thing. He did it wrong the first time. And then he came back and he was saying how well he was playing. And he was stumbled over it like four times.
That was Bulaga.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was painful. That was painful, dude. Like, and that's the thing. Well, they just think, we'll just throw any old ex-player out there. You know, there are professional broadcasters out there who need jobs, who would do 30,000 times better at those jobs, those color commentating jobs, who know football, who could do it all just like you want it, and who would actually do the actual research and know how the hell to say names and what's going on in the field and impart it in an intelligent way.
There's definitely the NFL Network and the NFL and the networks for sports, for the NFL in particular, definitely feel less meritocratic than other. It feels more nepotistic than other. Absolutely. It's like, it literally, you know, it's like, how does Phil Sims, like Chris Sims, okay.
Yeah.
Phil Sims, whoa. Like, what? He doesn't even know what he's saying half the time.
No,
Boomer Esiason looks like he's going to blow up and inside the NFL half the time. He literally looks across like, I cannot believe I'm sitting at this table right now.
The thing is if you talk to Phil, like, we had an event with him last
year. I'm sure he's a great guy.
And he was fine.
I'm sure he's a
great guy. If you just talk football with him, like, you're just shooting having a beer or whatever.
It's him trying on camera. He tries too hard. He's trying to egg you. He's trying to be jokey.
He's presenting. That's the problem. He's not a presenter. Terrible. He just needs to just chill and talk. And he's great in that environment. But, like, when he's, like, trying to be Mr. Broadcaster, it's just painful. It's just painful.
Well, it's bad there, and it's bad in the inside of the NFL, which are two different roles, but they're both equally bad.
We should call Steven.
Okay, well, we have 2 minutes.
Okay. All right.
So
the Packers waited years for a running back like Eddie Lacy. Can we use him? Can we use a hammer, please? I mean, imagine 2010 if we had Eddie Lacy. I mean, can we finally just run the thing? We're finally running the ball.
We didn't need him in 2010.
And we never run the ball.
We needed him in 2011.
Yeah, we had Brandon Jackson.
We needed him later.
Yeah. But that's my point. So now here he is. Gift wrapped. Use him. It's December. All summer. All offseason. All year we're here. Well, you know, when they get into December and January, they really need that running game. Yeah, so they can forget about it.
That's true.
It's 45 passes? Are you freaking kidding me? All right. Sorry.
One more.
I got a little emotional.
And this I actually blame the receivers for this more than Rodgers. I know Rodgers was off on the back shoulder throws.
I blame the non-calls. I got tape.
Not on Lacy. I moved the graphic forward.
Oh, what'd you do?
Okay?
Yeah, no, I know.
On the back shoulder throws.
Yeah.
Clearly, they are making these relationship throws in practice.
Right.
There's no way they are calling this many back shoulder throws and not making them consistently in practice.
Yeah, all the time. But the difference is they're being held, and the tape backs this up, by the way. They're being held 10 to 12 yards downfield. There's the one up the left sideline to Randall Cobb. It's clearly a back shoulder throw. Rodgers, as he's releasing it, he's expecting Cobb to come back to the ball. Cobb is 12 yards trying to make his turn, and he's being totally mugged by the defensive back. Of course, it didn't get called. And here's my other point about the adjustments. Thank you for bringing it back, Corey, because here it is. If you're Mike McCarthy, and they talk about this all the time, Aaron talks about it on his show, McCarthy talks about it in his press conferences. If you're sitting there every week studying the referee and his crew, you know Bill Levy's crew has called two, count them.
Well, that's the thing.
Two dose defensive holding calls all year.
Yeah, who's doing the R&D on the Zebras?
This is the year of like heightened awareness, and we're going to call it more, and et cetera, et cetera. The call defensive holding calls are up like almost 70 billion%. That may be a rough estimate, but they're up insane amounts. Bill Levy's crew has called two all year, and you waste like five plays on back shoulder throws when it's clear after the first two they're not going to call it.
But Davante Adams he wasn't in the right spot on that.
Who knows? Who knows if he was in the right spot?
We don't know.
Davante Adams knows.
If he was like being held, who knows if he was in the right spot?
That's true. That's true. You're right.
Oh.
All right, we got to call him in.
I got to stop watching tape because that's what gets me so upset.
Right, I'm going to call him.
Okay, here we go.
Just make sure he knows
we're
live.
Mr. Steven, yes, of course. Mr. Steven. Mr. Steven White.
Steven White.
Hi, Steven there.
Yes, this is he.
Hi, Steven. It's Aaron Nagler at T-Set TV. How are you tonight, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm all right. You are live on the air, so don't say anything incriminating because three whole people watch this show, and they'll get really upset. thanks a lot for taking the time. For those of you who may not be aware, Steven played along the defensive line for the Buccaneers for 7 years? Was it 6 years or 7 years? I can't remember.
Six years with the Bucs and 1 year with the Jets.
That's right. And now I love that you self-identify as a blogger.
Yeah.
Blogs for SB Nation. His stuff is fantastic. If you want real football, real breakdowns of the game, check his stuff out at SB Nation. Steven, let's just jump right in it. The Buccaneers, that's your team. You follow them. You watch all the tape. Your stuff on Twitter is great. Are they as bad as their record? I mean, they've won two games, man.
Yes and no. They are as bad as their record in some spots, specifically the offensive line. And, you know, Aaron, if your offensive line is terrible, you're not going to do very much that season. I don't care how good your defense is, how good your quarterback is. Your offensive line can't stink, and ours does. So that particular area is just so bad on the team. But we do have some bright spots here and there. You know, guys like Gerald McCoy and Levante David playing well this year. The rookie, Mike Evans, having a fantastic season for us. But our offensive line is just holding us back.
What has been the bigger issue this year on the offensive line, on the offensive side, other than the offensive line? Obviously, the line's been terrible. Kind of saw that, kind of knew in the preseason they were going to be terrible. They trade for Mankins, clear sign of how bad it was. How much has the Tedford illness and subsequent kind of being away from the team, et cetera, after spending all offseason with him, how much has that affected the offense?
Oh, it's had a tremendous negative effect on the offense because you don't just lose him. Now you have to replace him with the guy who's untested in Marcus Arroyo. You know, Marcus Arroyo, I think the last time he was an offensive coordinator, the team that he was coaching for only won one game. So, no, seriously, look it up.
I don't doubt you.
This not necessarily a ringing endorsement for a guy who's never been an OC on the NFL level. And so he was feeling his way around the first 3 weeks. And then Tefford was still kind of in the mix. So I think that kind of was an uneasy situation, too, because he's kind of got Tefford looking over his shoulder. And then he starts to get a little bit better around the middle of the season, but you can just still tell that he's not a seasoned play caller. Like, there's so many different situations in the game where you know good football says you should maybe run the ball here, and we end up throwing it. So he's still kind of trying to find his way, and of course that's held us back some. But I still say, you know, we've got enough good players on offense, aside from the offensive line, that if our offensive line could just hold up a little bit, we probably at least win five games.
Okay, and that makes sense. How much has the quarterback situation played into it, though? I mean, obviously, a lot being made about Lovey going out and getting McCown this offseason, and then Glennon gets in there, and then it's back to McCown. I mean, it's pretty clear they have to go get a quarterback next year, right?
Absolutely. They have to go get a guy. If for no other reason than just to try to get the fans back on your side at this point.
Right.
You know, the fans around here just are pretty much fed up. Just keep putting a losing product out on the field. And with McCown, you know, I was a big endorser of that move to bring him down here. We draft another big wide receiver. He kind of had the same setup at the skill positions.
Right.
As he had in Chicago. Little did I know that, you know, Tefford was going to be out and the offensive line was going to suck so bad, and Josh McCown was just going to lose his mind the first three games and start doing uncharacteristic stuff, you know, trying to complete passes over his shoulder as he's getting sacked and stupid crap like that. So it just all kind of blew up in their face. But I think if they had to do over, they would do it pretty much everything the same except the offensive line. And I think with a better offensive line, Josh McCown plays better. We never end up going to Glennon. Right. But hindsight is always 20/20. I think putting Glennon in there was a mistake to begin with just because he's not that good of a quarterback. And he's a guy that actually needs an offensive line that can keep him clean because he's like a deer in the headlights when there's a good pass rush coming, as we saw against the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens got off the bus blitzing when they came down here, and you look up and we're down like 30 points in the first quarter. So I think Mike Glennon is a good guy, a good person, probably going to be a good backup for many, many years in the league, but I think everybody sees now he isn't the answer either, so we're going to have to go Mariota shopping.
Now, going on the defensive side of the ball, Lovey's bread and butter, clearly. You mentioned McCoy earlier. I saw he was in an injury report. What's his track for Sunday? Is he going to be able to go?
Oh, he's out. He's on IR.
Oh, there
they
you go.
Put him on IR.
I hadn't looked. There you go.
They went ahead and shut him down because that's 2 weeks in a row that he had problems with the same knee. And, you know, we're 212. We're not going anywhere.
Right.
No need to risk it.
You just paid the guy, so, protect that investment. Then going to the next level, obviously Levante David still playing lights out football. Had some one or two issues that I saw on tape, but mostly he's playing really well. How about Danny Lansana? Undrafted with Green Bay in 2008, bounced around the league, and I put on the tape, but this kid's playing pretty well.
I mean, it's amazing. I think that kid's still a rookie, and he came out in like 2008. How great is that? So, but he's out there making plays, and you know the thing about it early on in the season, he was one of those guys who made plays, but probably about 75% of the time he was doing everything wrong. The ball would just kind of find him, and then he'll make a big play. But he was really putting out some bad film as well. But as the season went on, he became a quick learner. He kind of had to be because he kept having injuries at the position. And now they're kind of moving him around to a bunch of different places. He might end up being our middle linebacker of the future, quite honestly, because I don't think that Mason Foster is that guy.
How much of it is his ability and his basically taking to the scheme, and how much of it do you think is Lovey? Because clearly Lovey's a very good coach, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Do you think this is kind of just a perfect fit for him, or is it like Lovey and the scheme getting it out of him?
Well, initially, it was just all the kid because he's got a tremendous amount of athletic ability. And once again, like I said, for some guys, they're just a magnet to the football. The football just kind of finds them sometimes. And that's what happened with him in the preseason and early on in the regular season. Now you're starting to see the Lovey influence, though. You can see him kind of anticipating plays more so than just reacting to them. As he was early in the season. So now you're starting to see the combination of him using his athletic ability, his God-given ability, as well as some good coaching that's getting him on the final points of the game.
Why couldn't Mark Barron fit in this defense?
I'm sorry?
Why couldn't Mark Barron fit in this defense? You've seen, the trade to St. Louis, and he's playing pretty well up in St. Louis. It's just odd to me that a coach as good as Lovie Smith couldn't work with him.
It's a different situation for him in St. Louis because nobody has any expectations of him. If they did, then they would wonder why a guy who went number 7 overall is only playing nickel downs and he's playing linebacker instead of safety. You know, we could have used him in that situation here, but people here would be like, why do you have the number 7 pick not starting, only playing a handful of downs, stuff like that. So he had to kind of get out of here to find that role. That's kind of a role that Greg Schiano had him in last year on third downs. But to get to your point, the point of your question, Mark Barron is a guy who doesn't do anything exceptionally well. He's built like you would want to say to be built. He's got a lot of athletic ability, got enough speed, you think. But he misses a lot of tackles, and he doesn't make a lot of plays on the football. So if you got a guy who's not great in coverage, and not great in coming up in the box either, what do you do with them?
Yeah.
Well, you find a specialized role on third down, let them blitz all the time, and then he'll make some plays for you. But you can't do that with the number 7 pick in the draft overall. So, like I said, he had to leave here to kind of find that role for himself.
Getting away from Tampa Bay for just a second, I wanted to ask you about your reaction to to the Jay Cutler move in Chicago. I mean, it broke kind of, I guess, a couple hours ago. I don't know. It's not really a two-part question, but as bad as it was, I never thought Tressman would bench him. The reports are that Tressman's gone anyway. Are you surprised that Cutler got benched?
I'm surprised that it would take this long. You know, if you've ridden with him for this long, right, why not just go ahead and ride with him the last two games?
Right?
You're probably out of there. He's probably out of there. Go ahead and try to see if you can salvage these last two games. I think if you're going to make this move, you make it much earlier in the season when you still kind of had a chance at winning the division. I mean, those guys are stacked on offense at their skill position. People would kill to have two big wide receivers. They can go up and get the ball like they have and Forte in the backfield. But they couldn't get over a lot of Cutler's mistakes, and, of course, their defense is god-awful.
Yeah.
So, to me, I think if you're going to make this move, you should have made it a long time ago. At this point, why? You know, it's like bringing more negative attention when you already have quite enough on your plate.
Seriously. All right, and last one for you. We're talking with Stephen White, SB Nation, former Bucks defensive lineman. Absolute gentleman for joining us this evening. Sunday, Tampa, Green Bay. What's your prediction for the game?
Pain. A lot of pain. If you're a Bucks fan, you might want to look away. This is a team that I played for and is always going to be special to me. I tell people all the time, I'm not a Buccaneers fan, I'm a Buccaneer. But I'm a realist first and foremost. And you're talking about a team that was already 2-12. You just put Gerald McCoy on IR. You just put your rookie tight end that was a threat in the passing game on IR. Mm-hmm. And your offensive line hasn't gotten any better. You're just moving around the pieces. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I looked it up. Julius Peppers has like 5 sacks now. He might have double digits by the end of the game because he's going against O'Neal Cousins at right tackle. He should be ashamed of himself if he comes out of this game without 2 sacks. Ashamed of himself. Tell him I said it.
That's
ashamed
awesome.
Of his O'Neal Cousins for real? At right tackle? Come on now.
That's phenomenal. Oh man. All right. Well, Stephen White, you were a pleasure to watch play in the NFL. You're a pleasure to follow on Twitter. Your stuff is great, and thank you so much for talking to us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
There you go, Mr. Stephen White. Check out his stuff. He's amazing. He's so good. I can't tell you how great his stuff is on SB Nation. It's really phenomenal. He does great breakdowns. And during draft season, he is amazing. He does these posts, I think maybe once a week, about some of the top prospects in the draft. And they are amazingly detailed, really scheme specific, what guy does well, what he doesn't do well, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on and on. But anyway, there you go, Stephen White, bring in the knowledge.
The defense,
the pack, back to the Packers and their defense. Talking about a power running game, interestingly enough, there in the second half, giving the Packers a few problems. I thought we'd see a little bit more out of that, you know, from the Falcons and from the Patriots before them, and didn't really see it from either team. And
here's how you negate
that. Saw a bunch of it from the Bills.
Here's how you negate that.
How's that?
Go up 21, and you don't have to worry about it.
And that's kind of been their MO all year. That's the problem.
I'm not worried about the power run game unless Aaron Rodgers is off. I'm worried about the power run game. I'm worried about the power run game when it's 21-21 in the fourth quarter.
Yes, you are.
And it's up to them with 2 minutes left in the game.
Woo!
I'm worried about the power run game when they're up by 3 and we need that. Oh, okay. Let's just talk for 1 second while we're on defense.
Corey has a thought.
Pretty much got to be the crappiest rule in the NFL. Okay. Within 2 minutes.
Oh, the can advance a fumble thing. Unless it's you who fumbled
I've
it.
Seen the YouTube play multiple times now.
All right.
I don't understand what they're trying. Like, what's the big deal? Why? Okay. So you believe that the foundation of American football, okay, comes from early 1800s, right? We're talking, going back.
We're going way back.
We're not going back to 1919.
No.
We're going all the way back, right? We're talking about rugby, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, rugby, it's all about the scrum.
Right.
So why are you afraid of a scrum that goes forward? I don't understand. The defense can get the scrum just as well as the offense. So what are you trying to protect against?
I don't know. the holy roller.
Now, nothing would have happened, no, right? Exactly. Like, we still would have lost the game, exactly. Okay? No. But the rule is dumb.
Yes, I agree.
And I don't know that many people that can defend the rule.
Most people think it's dumb.
So why do we have it?
Because the NFL is filled with
dumb rules. There's so many dumb rules where you don't know they exist until there's 2 minutes left in the game. Why is that? And they stick them in there every year. They stick in another little one where it's like, oh, yeah.
Or another one just pops up that we haven't had to deal with. Whichever.
Can we please get rid of that one?
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
It's really dumb. Like, the fact that Aaron Rodgers has to be the one to pick up the ball that he fumbled.
The NFL.
It's so stupid. Eddie Lacy got out of the end zone, by the way, and that would have been fun to see if he did. We still would have lost the game, but maybe not.
Maybe. 99, baby. 99 yards. Yeah. You never know.
Hey, there's been plenty of times the Packers went 99 or more yards since the history of the Green Bay Packers.
All I know is, you know, there are so many horrible rules in the NFL.
There really are.
It's just...
Why?
It's just like so... It's like the NFL is more litigious than some law firms, which is kind of scary.
That rule. And I watched that YouTube video, and I'm just like, what are they protecting against here? That's cool. Like, I think most fans would say laterals, okay?
Right.
Some of my most... favorite memories, granted, they're as a teenager, so it always helps,
right?
Is Reggie White lattering the ball.
Yep.
Without laterals and fumbles and rugby-type plays, we wouldn't have the Lambeau leap.
Yep.
Like, we wouldn't have some of the most beautiful things.
It's pure joy. It's fun to watch. What's wrong with fun?
That's what I always ask. And I go to the NFL headquarters sometimes, and I do talk to people.
No
and
fun
like,
league.
Why? Why do you have all these rules that prohibit fun? It just makes no sense. It makes no sense.
I didn't mean to go on a tangent.
It's okay. It's all right. Because now we're going to talk about your boy. And talk about your boy, Tremont.
He did have an interception. And I love how everybody's like, oh, he walked into that interception. Well,
he didn't walk. Only, he had great coverage on that
The guy you're going to talk about in the blogosphere, I saw something he did where he was like, oh, he kind of fell into it. And he's like, wait a second.
No.
He was at the right place at the right time.
Because he was covering Sammy Watkins really well. Good Lord. The one knock against Tremont in that game. You know what I'm going to say.
No one can be perfect.
Fall on the ball, dude. Just fall on the ball.
It's true.
That was like Jarrett Bush style.
No.
Fall on the
ball, dude.
Fall on the ball.
Okay, hold on a second.
Ball on the ball.
You just, no.
Ball
that's not Jarrett Bush style. Okay, the Jarrett Bush ball play, I was on the 50-yard line. The Jarrett Bush play, the ball is right in the middle of the field.
Yep.
It is the end of the game if he falls on the ball. It's a completely different thing. And even if he falls on the ball, it's still got... If you look at the play at the end...
It's a different thing.
It was a completely different play.
But it's similar.
Please do not...
It's similar.
Please don't
it's
say
similar.
That. It's not.
It's similar.
It's not. And how...
Ball on the ball.
How on God's green earth is Jarrett Bush a captain? Okay? What is happening in the world today?
Because the game is three phases.
Okay,
and
yes
he is
or no?
The captain of special
yes
teams.
Or no? I want right. Jersey Al to weigh in. I see him on the chat.
Right.
Yes or no? Still to this day,
yes.
For every great play Jarrett Bush has had,
yes.
Still to this day, there is a boneheaded Jarrett Bush play that shows up in a game. It feels like this season it's every three games. Used to be every game.
He had one in this game.
I just, you know, they're lessons.
I don't get
they're
it.
Lesson.
I don't get
they're
lesson it.
Because he's not on.
What is the upside?
He's not.
Of Jarrett
he's not.
Bush?
On,
Someone explain this to me.
He's not playing from scrimmage. I'll tell you what the upside is. I'll tell you. You want to
not a good cornerback?
Is? No, but you know what the upside is.
So what's the upside?
The interception he made in the Super Bowl. That's the upside. When you're injured, and you need a guy in a pinch, a guy who knows the defense, who's worked harder than anybody else in the building to get where he's at. He's going to make a play for you. That's
so you're,
the
so you're saying the key word is effort?
For Jarrett Bush,
I wish
hell
he
yes.
would have shown some effort in 2007.
Okay, he showed effort in 2010, and they won the Super
Bowl. You know what's going to happen? Yeah. This is what I hope happens for Jarrett Bush, okay? Because I hope
they win another Super Bowl, and he retires.
No, I hope that we win a Super Bowl
right.
because Jarrett Bush
falls
on
a ball.
The ball. That would be like, the circle of
circle
life.
Circle of life right there. I love it. I love that. You know what I don't love?
What's that?
When you and I come on this year program
Let's just hypothetically say.
Are you saying we jinxed Julius Peppers?
2 weeks ago? Why do you gotta ruin it? Why you gotta ruin it? I'm setting it up. I got a whole plan.
Because
and you just
here's the problem.
Detonate.
Because sometimes we both don't want to be the straight man. And so we're like fighting that.
Good Lord, dude.
Unlike Aaron Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to be the straight man.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you just talk? All right.
This is good.
Where's Julius Peppers? We were touting how awesome an acquisition he's been, and he was completely invisible against the Buffalo Bills, against a seventh-round draft pick.
Well, you heard Stephen White. Double digits. Got to have 2 sacks in this game.
That's all I'm saying. Where's he been? Put in an APB.
I feel like Julius Peppers.
Gave him the anti-TV.
Here's what
TV
I truly
bump.
Think. I truly think Julius Peppers is kind of like, and I'm going to say it again.
Oh, no. Oh,
Charles
no.
Woodson.
Don't do it.
Okay?
Don't do it.
What does Charles Woodson do?
Mayday. Mayday.
Once you get in the playoffs, Charles Woodson turns into Superman.
Mayday.
Don't do it. That's what happens. Guys like Julius Peppers, they're pros. They're veterans, right?
So what you're saying is he's pacing himself.
Yep. And I think Tremont's doing that too, by the way. I think Al Harris did it.
Dude, Tremont is balling.
Dude, but I'm saying there is still gas in the tank above where he is.
Can I just talk good about your boy for a second?
You can be the first one to do it.
Oh, stop.
Dude, everybody on Twitter hates Tremont Williams.
That's fine.
It's really annoying. I want to kill them all.
Let the twittiots tweet, all right? Because here, let's slide back and listen to the news. Tremont Williams is balling out. Yes, he had a bad second half against the Falcons. Everybody in the secondary did. A lot of that was zone calls. Get off his jock. Because Tremont Williams is tackling better. He's covering better. He's playing better than he has definitely in the first part of the season, although he wasn't playing bad the first part of the season. But it's like last year where he started to turn it on. The guy is playing good football.
So are you saying
I'm saying great
football. Are you saying that Ted is going to possibly make a play for Tremont?
No. He's still gone. Unless he takes a pay cut.
Okay.
Unless he he
gets an interception in every playoff game?
No. If he gives a hometown discount,
I'm going to protest.
Back. Yeah, all right.
I know Ted doesn't care. I'm going to protest at Lambeau if they cut him.
It's all good.
It's just going to be me with my sign.
We need to get to your prediction.
Okay.
So
to play Rookie Report?
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Welcome back to the Rookie Report, the Week 15 edition of this 2014 NFL regular season. Let's start off with Davante Adams, a kid who has clearly hit the rookie wall. That's not to say he can't recapture some of the magic we saw earlier in the year, but Week 15 against the Bills, this was a brutal performance, basically offering nothing in the passing game, not on the same page as Aaron Rodgers at all, had one nice catch, but overall a very poor performance. That's a D for Davante Adams. Next up, we have Richard Rodgers, who actually has shown good improvement in the running game. He has continued to do that throughout the year, but he offered basically nothing in the passing game, nothing dynamic about his game. He gets a solid C. Next up, we have Corey Linsley, just an outstanding performance from the young center, taking on one of the best defensive fronts this team will see all year. Linsley controlled not only in the running game, passing game as well, against, again, the best interior defensive lineman this league has to offer. Absolutely outstanding work from Linsley, an A on the day. Finally, we have HaHa Clinton Dix, who simply has to figure out how to tackle in open spaces. Way too much bowing of the head, not seeing what he's hitting. We've seen it time and again, and it keeps costing this defense. Clinton Dix was fine in coverage, it was where he needed to be, but this open space issue has got to get fixed. A D-plus on the day for Clinton Dix. And there you have it. That's this week's Rookie Report from CZTV.com.
Yeah, that's harsh on Clinton Dix. That probably should have been a C minus.
I was going to say, is Tremont playing better than Clinton Dix?
Yeah, there's no doubt. But D-plus is probably a little harsh. Maybe a C.
I don't know. But damn,
he had some pretty bad tackles.
He's got to fix that though. It's so bad. It's so hard to watch. Good Lord, see what you hit, son. Get up there, explode out of your stance. Put your head across him. Keep your head up. Blah blah blah.
Okay, son. You know.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. This week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, wanted to give a Twitter shout out to Jeremy Vander Linden. People, you can check him out at @TTSO_Jeremy. Does some great work on the breakdowns, the film breakdowns, even when Corey takes issue with his Tremont breakdowns.
Yeah.
He does really good work.
He runs Titletown Sound Off, which we actually shouted out to them in the first preseason episode this year of Packer Transplants.
Absolutely. And the tape breakdown is good stuff. Keep it up, Jeremy. Really enjoy it. Really good stuff. Good use of the medium.
Without Jeremy and Titletown Sound Off, by the way.
Right.
That's the first new blog.
I know, right?
That's the first new Packer blog in the Packer blogosphere in like 3 years.
Yeah. Well, there have been a couple people who have like said, check my stuff out, and I just haven't had time yet.
Okay, don't.
But I will.
It can't count Bob Becker, okay?
Well, no. Of course not.
It is funny. It's humorous. Mm-hmm. But you can't count it.
Oh, Bob.
He's really funny.
He is.
I like less about the Packer blogosphere and more like when he watches shows. Like when he watches shows I'm watching, like Second Screen, he's
right,
my guy.
Right. A Second Screen maven, if you will. All right, Corey, so what's going to happen Sunday?
Well, as I'm very good at predicting Packer blowouts, it's going to be another one. And, 35-0.
35-0? All right. I'll go with 42-17. Sound about right?
I can live with that.
All right. 42-17 Packers.
All I hope is that the Bears beat Detroit.
Be awesome.
That would be so amazing.
Oh my God, with Jimmy Clausen at quarterback. Oh my God.
That would be amazing. We win out. Detroit loses. We're the second string.
Second seed.
I don't know. There's part of me, and I know a lot of Packer fans are going to be mad at me for this. I really want us to go on the road again all the way.
You just want an excuse to travel.
Yeah, of course. And I just think it's badass. It's just badass.
It is badass.
There's nothing more badass than going to people's stadiums and beating them.
Going, boom!
Three
times.
You're
out the door.
Oh,
boom!
And then we're going to the Super Bowl.
Boom! You're out the door in your own stadium. We get to celebrate going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
I think that's amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
Although, it's hard because I'm battling that with, like, I love the fact when Green Bay makes, tens of millions of dollars. It's hard to weigh that because it's like my family and friends and people in Wisconsin make a lot of money. Like, that is no joke.
Yeah, no doubt.
If the Packers have two playoff games,
it's huge.
That's $100 million.
I don't know about $100 million, but it's a lot.
I think it's close, dude.
It's a lot. It's a lot. There's no doubt about it. It is a huge
boon
to the economy.
It's like 20 to 30 million per game, I think. 14 to, I can't remember. I've seen many,
I have no
many
doubt.
Things.
I have no doubt. Just, it's awesome for the local economy. There's no doubt about it.
And there's
it.
Nothing like it. Like, there's already that infrastructure. There's nothing like playoffs in Lambeau.
Come on.
It's more cold.
Simply put, more games in Lambeau, the better.
That's it. And there is this thing where, like, we need redemption for the NFC Championship. Like, there is this lingering, festering hole.
They need redemption for a whole slew of things since they won the Super Bowl.
But especially 2007. 2007 is like a blight.
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl.
But it's not
2007
the same.
Happened, and then they won the Super Bowl.
But if
but they went on the road
in
to
2007,
do it.
Right?
Right.
Was the first time we ever lost an NFC Championship game in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
It's true.
Ever!
I know.
And ever at Lambeau.
Yeah, I know.
That's like a festering sore.
I think that's a good place to leave it. Festering sores need to be fixed. Need to be healed, per Corey Behnke. All right, well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants Live. Thank you so much to our guest, Stephen White at SB Nation. You can find him on Twitter. We'll put it up on the live chat. He's amazing. And of course, thanks to everyone who showed up on that live chat. You guys are awesome. Everyone who downloads it later, watches it on demand on the site, downloads it on iTunes, however you find us, wherever you are, all over the world. And like I always say, you guys are all over the world. You keep sending us emails, tweets, etc. about it. It's amazing. Thank you so much. You guys are the reason we do this. We love the Packers, but more importantly, we love Green Bay Packer fans. You're the reason we do it. Thank you so much. Go Pack, go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.